DC, I heard you ask Max Holloway if you could borrow $100,000.
I did. Well, he's got a lot of extras, so why wouldn't he give some to his friend? Makes sense to me.
In the future, you can always come to the original BMF. I would have spotted you.
Oh, man. Oh, man. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Good Guy, Bad Guy. I'm Daniel Cormier. That's Chael Sonnen. Uncle Chael, I don't want to go to the Bank of Chael because I imagine the interest rate is just way too high. Max Holloway's nice. He may just give you the money. You may charge a crazy interest rate.
I love it. You make a good point. I got to tell you, I am still buzzing. I watched the Olympic trials over the weekend. I know you watched it. I want to catch up on what is this going on? Brooks is now going on the Olympic team, probably favored to win the gold medal, but David Taylor might be coming over to us. He might be our next guest wanting to join the UFC.
That would be crazy, Chael. And you and I will get into that a little bit later in the show. But first, last week, Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler was made official by Dana White. They say they're fighting. They have a date. But what really stuck out, Chael, is that Michael Chandler said, I would not be surprised if all of a sudden that bout agreement comes over and says for the 165-pound title. You never know. It should be for a belt. Let's see if we don't make one up. Chael, two things, right? Two things. One, the 165-pound division debate starts again. But two, Chael, there's still no bout agreement. He said when the bout agreement comes, maybe it'll say for the 165-pound belt. There's still no bout agreement. But even more importantly, what do you think about 165 coming up again?
Well, okay, so Michael Chandler's the source. So I just want to reframe this for anybody that's just tuning in. Michael Chandler has said that this fight might be for the 165-pound title. Now, Michael Chandler has also said the agreed-upon weight class is 170 pounds. Michael Chandler has also said he assumes this is the main event of International Fight Week, but that he hasn't actually been told that. Michael Chandler also says that Conor McGregor, behind the scenes, and he observed this while living with him to do The Ultimate Fighter last year, happens to wear a toupee. He also stated that Conor McGregor is a loud eater and that he does, in fact, wear dress shoes without socks. That does not make him look cool. It just gives his feet blisters. So, which of those Michael Chandler quotes do you want to take and bring on ESPN as though we're reporting the news? This is not accurate. It's entertaining. There is no need for a 165-pound title. For one, part two, the commission does not sanction 165-pound fights. Part three, the UFC does not contest a 165-pound division. Part four, these guys combined are coming off of more losses than I have had in my entire career. So if anybody's coming back to fight for a mythical belt, it will be yours truly.
Chael, Michael Chandler said, that's like the way you started every one of your statements, because the only person that we get talking about this is Michael Chandler. We have said this since the very beginning. Chandler wants his fight, and he has made no secrets or made no bones about it. This is what he wants. He wants it to happen. I imagine now it is happening. 165, I believe that. So here's my thought process, right, when it comes to championship opportunities. I have said this time and time again, Chael. A lot of times it comes down to being in the right place at the right time. Whereas, even going back to me, they had no intent on giving me my first championship opportunity. But then Alexander Gustafsson got hurt. They called me in. I stepped in. I never left the title picture after because I was reliable. They could always call me and say, hey, you want to fight this guy for the belt? It was also the same way with Dustin Poirier right now. We see it happening where if you're in the right place at the right time, under the right circumstances, sometimes it happens faster. I believe that is what Michael Chandler is saying may happen right now, because I believe that if they're going to do a 165-pound division, it should have a name attached to the weight class that is so big that it draws people's attention, Conor McGregor being that name. Michael Chandler, on the other hand, will benefit, Chael, from being in the right place at the right time, where these guys will then fight for the super lightweight championship of the world, because that's what I believe it is, because only 10 pounds heavier than 155. So let's call it super lightweight division. Move 170 to 180. To 175. Move 185 to 195. Keep 205. Put heavyweight. That's my thought. I believe Chandler saying 165 pound title might be right place, right time for Iron Mike Chandler. And let's call it super lightweight, Chael.
DC, I love everything you just said. I just am not in the same position as you. I am not so hurting for topics having no UFC this weekend that I don't know how else to fill the air over here, okay? There is no 165-pound belt coming. History of the UFC and the psychology of Dana White says I don't give anybody a world title opportunity that's coming off losses, let alone multiple. History of Dana White psychology says I don't give anybody a world title opportunity, even if they're the number one contender, if I have reason to believe they're not going to come back and defend it. He's still upset that George St. Pierre relinquished the belt after he beat Michael Bisping, and that was in 2017. I mean, not for nothing, these aren't the right guys. They're just not. Now, Michael Chandler, I do believe, is finally found a reason to do this fight. I mean, the fight does have a big problem. If you're going to fight, it's got to be for something. Titles make sense. People understand it. And Daniel, don't forget the history of fighting. It used to be very important that your tribe or your village had somebody that was good at fighting, because if you did it and somebody else's tribe or village came, they would take what you have. They would take your life away. This was a big deal. Over time, the world became more civilized, and some promoter threw something out called a belt. Guys started to sacrifice their entire lives. You and I are those kinds of guys to go out and have that very belt. But that's not what it's about. It's not about a contendership. It's not about anything. It's not even about the made-up 165-pound belt that doesn't exist. This fight is for the UFC's most entertaining man, and Michael Chandler, for the first time, is stepping forward. I see your hand up, young man. Please, what is the question?
Yeah. It's like being a teacher, right? Like, I'm like, teacher, please call on me. I sit in the front of the class, Chael. I'm not one of those bad kids that sits all the way to the back. I'm in the front. I'm excitable. My hand went up. Why you're lecturing, coach? Please,
I want to
call
hear from you. What okay. is the question, young man?
So here's my question. Here's my question. Do you believe that, okay, I know you said it's a made-up belt, but hypothetically, Chael, let's take our mind to a place where this does become something. Do you believe that it could be anyone? Doesn't it have to be these two? Because as we learned in the Raquel Pennington versus Myra Buena Silva fight, when you have a vacant championship, if you don't put a name, right, it would have been better if Juliana Pena was in that fight, because that's a name people recognize. Do you not agree with me, Chael, that if it is a thing, and I know you're like, it's not going to be a thing, it needs to be guys. Can you do this, right? Can you say, 165-pound championship, I am going to take whoever the number six welterweight is in the world, and I'm going to take the number five or six lightweight in the world, I'm going to match them up at 165, and that's going to be our champion. Do you believe that fight would garner the attention of taking those two lightweights, both guys with name value, and putting them in the matchup? Because I believe that by putting those two women in the bantamweight title fight, it felt like they were almost destined to fail and set up to fail, and then the fight didn't deliver, so it was like a double whammy for those two. But if you had two names, I think people would have been more forgiving of who the champions became on that night.
Okay. Now, I want to make sure I got this straight. You, moments ago, brought an idea to the table as though it might come to fruition. I chopped that thing into pieces in expert fashion. You quickly pivoted and went to a hypothetical what if. If what if, are these the right guys? That was brilliant by you, by the way. And yes, you have got me. If we are, in fact, going to do a 165-pound title, these are the right two guys. Now, I will meet you there as long as you concede to the other side of the coin, which is, if we don't do a 165-pound title with these two guys, you and I stop talking about it. Whoever comes forward next and tries to say that we're going to do it. And look, if you're so desperate for a belt, and I do understand the importance to a belt, particularly to cap off an evening, let's add a lineage to the BMF. We already have a belt. We don't need to bring it out once every 2 or 3 years. It's what the fans like. It's what the locker room likes. I'm just saying, we don't need 65. What we need is Mac Holloway possibly to bump up up there and put the BMF on the line, or for Max Holloway to step forward and tell the winner of Chandler Connor, I will see you 3 months later for the BMF. I like that idea better, partner, but you pivoting, very smart, and you do got me. If we're going to do it, these are the right guys to do it with.
I love that. I love that idea, Chael. But I believe the BMF title is what lends these guys to calling for the 165-pound title. Because when Nate Diaz was in Anaheim, and he said to Jorge Masvidal, I'm the baddest MF out there, and then they made that fight for New York City, everybody starts going, wait a minute. So there is a potential to add belts if we have the right dance partner. And you're right. If it ain't these two at 165, it ain't happening. Because here's the deal, Chael, and you and I can both agree on this. If there's going to be something made up, another championship, it would be for a guy with the star power of Conor McGregor. There will not be another person that comes behind him with that level of star power that the organization is willing to work with to try to make happy, to try to get inside the octagon, to try to make concessions for. If it's not him, it won't happen for anyone. But I think the one thing about 165 is that people don't understand that when adding a weight class, it changes everything, Chael. Like, when they added 125, that did nothing because there was never a weight lower. You didn't have to move 135. You didn't have to move 145. To add a weight right in the middle, you got to start adjusting and moving all these different weights around to try to accommodate for all the fighters. And I believe what makes fighting so interesting is that you don't have so many weight classes congested that you really feel like you're getting the best fighter in the area of the weight. Because, Chael, the guy that's the 170-pound champion does not weigh 170. He weighs about 200 pounds. So he's in the area of 170. The guy that fights at 205 weighs about 230 pounds, 240 in some cases. So it's different. You're getting the best guy in the area of the weight class. But if there is going to be another belt, it will be for Conor McGregor because he's a star. Now, Chael, you know, before I was so lucky to have you as my partner, I had another partner. He was an all-pro. He's one of the more popular faces in all of MMA coverage, football coverage, everything. It's Ryan Clark. He's a super fan. He loves fighting. But the one thing he loves, hey, Chael, I didn't watch this man. I don't watch Ryan Clark. We're going one round with Ryan Clark, guys, just so that I at least introduce the segment. But, Chael, I didn't watch this man cry when Israel Adesanya lost. I watched this man cry when Israel Adesanya lost. I watched this man cry when Conor McGregor broke his leg. Ryan Clark, welcome back to the show, my brother. Let's talk about your boy, Conor McGregor.
Man, listen, guys, I am so excited to be on here, man. I have to admit, when I'm watching the events now and I see the good guy, bad guy promo, I get a little FOMO because we used to invite Chael all the time. This show has been rocking and rolling for months, and this is my first time back. I cannot believe it took this long, and I'm blaming it on you, Daniel, not Uncle Chael, because I know he would have had me on long ago. But before I finish, Chael, congratulations, man, on your Hall of Fame induction. That was one of the greatest fights I ever saw. You were a huge part of that, man. Well deserved.
Thank you, Ryan. That was beautiful. And welcome back. It's great to see you.
Man, appreciate it. Appreciate it. DC, all right, so I want to bring this up.
Here we go.
No, I want to bring this up. I was listening. So here's what I want to say. You forget things way too often, right? You're trying to make this plea to Uncle Chael about how to make Conor and Michael more interesting, right? How to make it a main event. You said long ago when DC and RC was a thing that you believe there should be a BMF belt for every two weight classes. You said there should be one for 125, 135. You said there should be, right? And you said so on and so forth. So right now, Max would hold the BMF belt for the 145, 155-pound weight class. Now, Conor and Michael can fight for the 170, 185-pound BMF belt. You said this long ago, bro. Yes. That's the easy
I did, RC. But here's the problem, and for both of you, if you're doing that, then you're combining the 185-pound. Could you imagine those 185-pounders fighting Conor McGregor? I don't care how puffed up he looks when he's doing movies. He's not a 185-pounder. He's not a 185-pound fighter, so it doesn't work. But, RC, when Michael Chandler was talking about that, the one thing he said, and Chael, hey, RC, Chael is actually of the belief just like you. Y'all believe everything Conor McGregor said. I don't understand how it's like he's a dude that just will not commit to y'all, but y'all still follow him up and down the street like he y'all boyfriend. But the reason he said that the fight is the fight. Chael believed it in Miami. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you believe it right now. But Michael Chandler said 165. when the contract comes, is there any worry that the fight agreement has not been produced yet when the fight is supposed to happen on International Fight Week at the end of June? I mean, we're almost at the end of April.
There is a little worry. I mean, you mentioned like relationships. If your dude or your woman continues to burn you in a relationship, you're going to lose a little faith in her. You're going to lose a little trust in her and or in him. And right now, Conor McGregor, I don't trust him. Until we get pen to paper, I don't believe that this is happening. Now, Michael Chandler believes that it's happening. I even text with MC. I told him I was excited for him. He said he appreciated the fact that we all waited around for this. So if MC believes it, it sort of gives me a little more faith that the fight will happen. But if they're still working on things, if they don't know the weight class, if they don't know if there's going to be a belt involved, that scares me because that feels more like Conor is manipulating things. A while back, you said you were tired of Michael Chandler just letting Conor do whatever he wants to do, say whatever he wants to say, and just waiting on him. I feel like if the contract isn't done, that's because we're waiting on Conor again. And if we're waiting on Conor, that scares me. And Dana White should be looking for a new main event for International Fight Week if he doesn't have this ink.
I'm worried about that too. I mean, in all fairness, I am wondering, like, is the UFC just not stuck this in the fax machine yet? Or the athletes just not sent it back? And to listen to Chandler, it sounds as though they haven't actually been presented with the paperwork. Daniel, let me tell you one other thing. And again, we're just really dissecting Michael Chandler's words, but Michael Chandler says this fight is on, and by the time it happens, I would not be surprised. Now, let me stop you right there. If the fight is on and it's already been agreed to, that means they didn't strong arm the promotion. That means they don't need to add anything. That means the negotiation is done, at least if these are men of honor. And I think that they are. I just don't think there's anything that's going to get added to it. And I don't think it's the right move. By the way, I don't think that's what Dana needs to do, is to add a division, potentially putting a guy at the head of it that fights every 3 or 4 years. I don't think that's the way it's done.
The other piece of it is this too, y'all. Like, why does he have to add a division? It's Conor McGregor. It's Dana White. I have never seen someone who runs an organization sit at a microphone, be more self-assured, more smug, more arrogant, more confident. And I'm saying all of this in a positive way than Dana White when he sits at the microphone after any sort of event. The dude understands that I run this. Ain't nothing nobody out here could tell me that's going to change the way I look at things, the way I make decisions. If Conor McGregor is fighting at 170, I don't believe the thought is Conor McGregor could one day be the 170-pound champion. So if it has to happen at 165, if it has to happen at 163, who in the hell cares? It's Conor McGregor. It's Dana White. They make decisions. We spend our money. We buy tickets. We buy pay-per-view. And we gonna show up to see Conor McGregor fight Michael Chandler because they're gonna punch each other in the face until somebody bleeds out. Yeah. That's what we gonna get. I don't care what weight it's at. And so I believe that Uncle Chael and DC, you guys are too busy being fighters and not busy enough being fans. The fans don't care, DC. I don't care if there's a belt. I don't care what the weight class is.
Well, here's the thing, RC. Here's the thing, RC. Oh, my God. I love Smack. Hey, Chael, this was one of my favorite things every week, smacking RC around. He won one debate in 3 years of doing the show. And I couldn't sleep at night when he won the debate. But, RC, listen to this. At one point, I thought I heard you. I thought I might have heard, because Air was talking in my ear. I think I might have heard you say something like Conor McGregor may be the champion at 170. And that is just absurd.
No, if you
I said he wouldn't be the champion. What?
I said he would not be the champion at 170. So it makes no sense to force him to fight at 170 pounds.
I was going to say, boy, if you whispered those words, I'm killing your mic and camera immediately. If you said Conor McGregor was going to be the 170-pound champion, that was absurd. But RC, I get it. Chael is of the belief that there's no way there's a 165-pound championship. He doesn't think it makes sense. And I tend to agree with him. I don't know if Michael is just, sometimes you want to build intrigue into something. And when you really jump into your words, you don't necessarily need it. Because we're always going to be there. Chael and I will always show up. As with many of the mixed martial arts fans around the world, they will always show up. But the draw to a guy like, well, you always show up too because you're as much of a fan as anyone, even worse than me. But I'm talking about the diehard fans will always be there. But the general fan doesn't always show up. The general fan shows up for UFC 100, 200, Conor McGregor every single time, and the big fights. So it doesn't matter if they need those added layers to the fight because the general fan will show up. Now, RC, you had a point that you made. You love to tweet, right? You made a point about the BMF championship. They're going to throw it up on the screen so I can see it. And you said, in my opinion, Max's Holloway of Justin Gaethje is today's new Bonner versus Griffin. A decade from now, thousands of people will share the story of how those 10 seconds made them fall in love with the UFC. It's now replaced Conor's KO of Aldo as my number one what the moment. RC, explain that. Because when I read it, I thought that you were saying that it is the new fans, Stephen Bonner, Forrest Griffin, not replacing that moment, right? Whereas some people took it as you're going, oh, it was a better moment. I think you were saying it's the new person's. Okay.
Yeah, because you got to realize, DC, like Forrest and Stephen, God rest their soul, for us, that was our era, right? It's part of why we all love the UFC so much. It was the first time we got to see two men, not the first time, but it was the time we got to see two men lay it all on the line and show us what mixed martial arts was going to become, right? That, and so that drew people like me in our age group. But there's a new fan, right? There's a fan that has all these different streaming apps, all these different things they can watch. And they're going to see that 10-second clip, even if they didn't watch the fight, DC, they're going to see that 10-second clip and say, I got to tune in the next time Max Holloway fight. Who is this Justin Gaethje? And for the people who that may have been their first event, for the girlfriend sitting with her boyfriend who does love mixed martial arts, or for the homies that are just around their one friend who says, hey, come over to the house. You know, I'm going to buy the fight. We can all watch it here. That fan is now going to be hooked on UFC because of that fight. The same way that many of us became hooked on the UFC because of Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin. It was one of those moments, and you could feel it. As great as Yael Xiaonan and Wei Li was, as good of a fight as, or as good as a knockout as we saw from Alex on Jamal, none of that mattered after Max and Justin. It was as if all of the energy was sucked out of the arena because of that moment. It felt the exact same way at home. And so there are going to be people who sit in their house and wait for another moment like that, as we've been waiting for another moment like Griffin and Stephen Bonner. Like we've been waiting for another moment like John Jones and the Mauler. Like all of those things are what drives you and drags you in and hooks you, and why we'll watch any Conor McGregor fight because of what he did in 13 seconds against Jose Aldo. And I think that the new fan, I think that the younger generation of fans are going to point to that fight as the fight that made them forever UFC fan.
And Ryan, I know exactly what you're saying about how fast the sport goes. Like, I tie myself back to 1993, the first time they set that octagon up in Mobile, Alabama, but not everybody else does. And I forget that when I'm talking sometimes. I'll give an example. Shine my own wheels, okay? I'm going to punch my own ticket, but I used to go places with Henry Cejudo, and he would stand there while there was lines wanting to speak to me or get an autograph, something along these lines. Fast forward the tape. I was walking with Henry Cejudo about a month ago. I'm the one that came up and said, could you hold the camera? Could you take a picture of me and my husband while they pose with Henry Cejudo, right? I mean, but the roles get reversed. And that's where you kind of stand back and go, oh, we have some new fans. Like, you guys don't go back as far as I do. And I only bring that because, hey, I love what Ryan's saying about that. People want to see Bonner versus Griffin part two. Nobody's even talking about Max versus Gaethje part two, which surprises me. We've never had a fight that good, that celebrated, that talked about where we did not at least discuss a rematch. And if we're not going to do a rematch, the next best thing, which is to get Max and get the BMF and start defending it again, I think is the direction we should go in. Instead, we're putting the brakes on that and trying to force Max down to Ilia Topuria. I think in hindsight, it might be a better move to keep Max right where he is and defend the BMF.
Max Holloway looked so good in that fight. He fought brilliantly. And honestly, he beat Justin up for the vast majority of the fight, but it's at 10 seconds. That's the memory. And I got to tell you guys, go back and watch that clip. Justin, they were throwing. Justin threw a right hand that went right past Max's chin. If that would have went the other way, it really is a game of inches, right? Because we'd be going, oh my God, Max Holloway made the worst mistake we've ever seen in fighting if that punch landed. But it was that moment that will make people stand up. Max Holloway called me last week and he was explaining to his streaming community that I wasn't mad that he won because I kind of put my head down. He was just saying, hey, it's like you're, Daniel, you're all of our friends and you're MMA's uncle, right? So you can feel the pain of the athlete. And that's exactly what I felt.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
But Ryan, before we let you go, MMA's uncle is what they call me. Everybody's unk is what they call Shannon Sharp. So Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco have a podcast. You do a show with Chad Ochocinco too, Inside the NFL. So Ocho is on their show the other day. And this is what this man said, Ryan. Listen to this.
So at what point do you think Max Holloway would beat me if we were to get in the octagon? Like round one, two, or three?
30 seconds.
Wait, what you mean 30 seconds?
He'll tap you out in 30.
Why are you disrespecting me?
I'm putting all my money. I'm taking all the money I got, everything I own, and putting it on Max Holloway.
So you think Max Holloway could beat me?
Beat the brakes off you and two more people just like you.
Man, I thump Max Holloway chin, man. Don't play at me like that, man. I'm out the city, man. What you talking about, man? I'm built for that.
Oh, man. Jail.
He
is that
really
your first
believes
time seeing
that,
that Jail?
He believes that.
That was great. Now, who was the guy? Shannon Sharp was the one asking the question. Who's the gentleman that he said is going to beat up the guy in the sunglasses? Who was that?
That's Chad Johnson.
His name is Ochocinco.
Yep. I know Ochocinco. I thought that was Ochocinco, but he was kind of hiding under the mask. Ochocinco's a tough guy, but I think he got his answer. And I don't think that really surprises him. Do you?
It does surprise him, Chael, because I'm around him all the time. He really believes he's better at everything than everyone. And you know, he's been boxing, so he actually had a professional boxing match where he got dropped toward the end. And he believes that his hands are that official. And I think sometimes when you have this inflated picture or perception of yourself, I got like stuff going off in the background.
What is
here
that?
On my day. It's the FaceTime, bro. It does that. I'm celebrating. I should be celebrating because I got an opportunity to be on the show. I think you start to believe you can do all these things that you absolutely cannot. I do have a BMF question for Chael and you, though, DC. And let me know if you guys think this makes sense. when you are making BMF matchups, should there be some sort of conversation with both opponents that say no grappling, no wrestling, right? Because Ilya Topuria says he wants the BMF belt to be a part of the fight if he fights Max. But the reason that this was even started was because of Jorge and Nate, right? We knew that they would be guys that would fight anywhere in the streets, anywhere, but they would also not take each other down. It would be a striking match. And then when it moved to Justin Gaethje and Dustin Poirier, we felt the same way about that. Obviously, Max and Justin, we knew what we were going to get. Ilya wants the belt to be put up, but I do feel like if he starts to get dotted on the feet, if he's losing the striking battle, it would turn into grappling. He would try to submit Max because he probably has the advantage there. I don't feel like that should be a part of the BMF belt in any way. So how do we get that put in the contract that that's never a part of it? Aljamain Sterling can't fight for the BMF.
Ryan, I do get your point, and those guys do come up with their own deals. I mean, it was kind of like Max and Justin, right? That one was so great about it, is they redid a contract right there in front of all of us with those 10 seconds. They said what they were going to do. So I do get your theme fully, and I think that largely the guys that qualify for BMF status fit that bill. But as far as actually putting a contract, like if you were being literal about it, no, I don't think the commission would go for that.
Come on, DC.
I never thought about that. I don't think we've seen one takedown attempt in three BMF title fights. We haven't seen a takedown attempt. Nobody's wrestling. Could you imagine? You know who I think? Hey, let me tell you who I think should be in the next BMF title fight. Aljamain Sterling. Put Aljo in the BMF title fight. Yes. Put Aljo in the BMF title fight. If anybody is a BMF, they could do what Aljo did at UFC 300. You go up a weight class, you dominate somebody in the grappling like that, that's a BMF, Ryan. That's a BMF. Put Aljo in the next BMF title fight.
You know what that is, DC? It's a boring mother effer. That's what that is. That's what we're going to call it. That's what the BMF was saying for if Aljamain Sterling was the new BMF champion.
Stop. Y'all gotta stop.
He has to win. Listen, you gotta go out and win. That's why it's called mixed martial arts. Chael landed strikes against Alan Anderson Silva and rocked him, and then Chael took it to the ground and dominated him on the ground. I have no problem with that. Chael is absolutely a BMF. And if it is two names that are that big, I am okay with the fight going that way. Just don't put the belt up. Put the real belt up for that fight. Do not put the BMF up for it. And DC, I did hear something from you recently. You've had three hosts since you've been here at ESPN. I was the second. Chael is now the president. But I want to ask you, who's your favorite host? Now, you know what? Never mind. We don't even need you to say it. I think we have a clip that's going to let us know who you believe.
Because I've never had more fun doing this show than this. Chael, you're my favorite partner I've ever had in these ESPN shows. You're just amazing, man. You're mine for it. Hey, so wait, stop. Just let me say this right here. I'm a bit of a short-sighted guy. So what's in front of me is normally what I'm in love with. I mean, that's why I've had a number of relationships in my life. I love the one I'm with, Ryan. And that is a smart man. You love the one that you're with, the one you're making money with, the one that you're getting ratings with. That's the person you hold up high. You prop them up. You make them feel good. Every single Monday and Thursday, I show up to Chael's door with a bouquet of roses. Because right now, Chael's signing my checks, Brian Clark. You love the one you're with. Right, Chael?
That was a beautiful answer. That was beautiful that the production team put that there. And I got to tell you, I didn't know that clip was coming, but I did feel like perhaps this very moment to some degree was coming. I will at least tell you this. Ryan Clark's the greatest guest we've ever had. We can at least both agree on that.
I appreciate that, Chael. At least I have RC. Chael on my side. Now, man, it's been awesome to see you guys do the show. You know, I've missed it for sure, but there is no better pairing in MMA than both of you guys. And so, man, this was fun. I appreciate it. DC, it's all good, man. I'll still just wait for you to call me while I'm at Smoothie King like you did yesterday, and we could just have conversations about MMA like that, brother.
That's my boy. RC, man, thank you for joining, bro. You know you got an open invitation always. Probably going to see you at UFC 302 down in Las Vegas with Conor McGregor fight.
Yes, sir.
Maybe we go up on the stage again like we did before. We do like
a live good guy, bad guy,
and then you join us for that show. So, guys, thank Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark, man, we appreciate you coming on. It's time to go
five rounds.
Chael.
Appreciate you, Chael.
You and I go five rounds. Chael, round one. Jamahal Hill is back already. He takes on Khalil Roundtree at UFC 302, I believe. I think he fights him at UFC 302. 303, sorry. He fights him at UFC 303. Chael, is it too fast for Jamahal Hill after going out like he did against Alex Pereira?
You know, there's a few things on this. Is it too fast? No, I don't think so. I like a guy that wants to get back on the horse. And listen, there is something to be said for ring rust. Everybody that has ever experienced it that is not named Dominic Cruz will tell you how real it is. So if the fact that Jamahal goes, look, that wasn't the best me, get me right back. I want to come from this training camp and this weight cut right into another training camp and another weight cut. I fully understand that, Daniel. What was the bigger standout for me is that the promotion said, okay, that Dana White said, I see it your way. Thank you for doing this for us. And now I do want to return something to you. And if a quick turnaround is all you're going to ask for, I will oblige. I really thought that there was a nice sentiment. Something positive must be going on behind the scenes with Jamahal. And I like it. I mean, quite frankly, Roundtree, that's a tough night out. But Jamahal has never asked for an easy night. He truly believes in his skills. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, that's a great fight. I wonder, like, is there no suspensions anymore when you get finished in a fight like that? That's my only concern, but I get it. Jamahal wants to get right back to work. He stated it the day after the fight ended.
The time is indicating that it's up.
Chael, the time indicated that the round was over because you went for 50 seconds. It's a 1 minute round.
There's new gloves.
Go for 50 seconds.
In this new round, there is new gloves coming to the next UFC, and Daniel, I think this is on the heels, possibly, of Weidman and the eye poke. Maybe it's pure coincidence, but either way, new gloves are going to be debuted. I know that you tried it on. What do you think?
Yeah, let's peel the curtain back a little bit. This is not because of Weidman. This has been in the works for a long time. They have taken a lot of athletes, like myself, our retired athletes, and said, what does this feel like? Do you like it? Does it feel like you're more protected? We have started looking at these gloves for a long time. This is not in response to anything in particular, but I do love it. I do love that they're making the stance to try to curve some of the eye pokes and the fouls that we have been seeing. And what I'm most excited about, though, is championship fights wearing gold gloves and having gloves that really define the event, Chael, that we're watching.
I did not know that. So is it... both fighters in the championship will have gold gloves or just the champion? All right, you'll have to get back to me on that, DC. I'm not hearing you, but I love that idea and that concept. I want to tell you this. I like that the UFC got involved. I like that the UFC stepped forward and wants to do something better. As far as the gloves, I've never known the difference, man. If those are new gloves or they weren't new gloves, if they came in my locker room and handed them to me, I never would have known.
And Chael. Okay, yeah, it's very subtle in the changes, but it is supposed to help. Round three, Chael, I got a question for you. Are you superstitious? Because right now we have seen three athletes get sponsored by Prime. Israel Adesanya, Alexander Volkanovski, and now Devin Haney. Is there a curse attached to getting paid by KSI and Logan Paul?
Jesse on Fire did a piece on this yesterday. He sent it directly to me. Is there a real curse? Like, am I actually superstitious? No, but has this come back to bite 100% of the guys? And they've all been surprises and all been upsets and all finished the same way? Yeah, I mean, those are just the numbers. They've done real well in pro wrestling, though. I must tell you that. I like their work. I even like the drink. A little sweeter than I thought it would be, but I enjoy Prime.
My kids on my wrestling team were in Vegas and the UFC gave us Prime and the kids are just downing it. Like, there's no sugar in this. I'm like, there's no way there's no sugar in this when it tastes this sweet. Now, when you talk about a Prime curse, it just comes with You can't control mixed martial arts, whereas you can control professional wrestling. That's why the professional wrestlers seem relatively safe. It's like the Madden curse back in the day. Every guy that was on the cover of Madden would get a season and an injury. Sometimes, if you believe, you can piece these things together. I don't know that there's a curse. Eventually, someone that signed the prime will get a victory.
All right, DC, round four. Actually, this is the most interesting question I've wanted to ask you all day. Ilya Topuria is claiming he will not put his belt up against Max Holloway unless Max Holloway puts his belt up for Ilya Topuria. So, of course, I'm talking about featherweight title for Topuria, BMF title for Max. What do you think of the champion's claim?
I thought it was always odd that Ilya Topuria was saying he would not fight the guys from the previous generation of featherweights. He said, I have no interest in Max Holloway. I have no interest in Brian Ortega and those guys. What I do like about Ilya Topuria is that he is acting like I'm the champ. I'm the man. I have the final say. He said, hey, put that belt on the line so that I have an opportunity to be a double champion. If you don't, I am pretty sure Brian Ortega will oblige. So I love the confidence. I love him saying, I'm the man. Play my game. I like it. He said it's the one thing that Max Holloway has that makes him interesting. I don't agree with that, but I do love the way he's playing it.
And it does make it fair, right? I mean, it's very hard to say that you're going to come down here, I'm going to put my belt up. It's like, wait a minute, if we're going to fight and one of us gets to be protected, I'll just come up a couple of pounds. We can do a catch weight at 147 and I won't put the belt up. I mean, Ric Flair loved to do this with Dusty Rhodes all the time. And I mean, when a champion fights, I understand that he has to fight. But I'm sharing with you that the belt has to come with the fight, but I'm just sharing with you, I do like the premise. If I'm putting my belt up, you put up yours. Why should I lose to you, but if I beat you, you stay champion? It doesn't make sense. Topuria's got a leg to stand on here.
He does. He does. Round five. Hey, there was a great running back in the 80s. He went by the name of Al Bundy. And Al Bundy loved going back and talking about the touchdowns he had in games and the yards that he ran for in the season. His wife, Peg, she never truly played the game. She no-selled him. Well, Alexander Volkanovski is now the former champion, and he is speaking of his glory days. Chael, look at this viral video that Volk has made. Going full Al Bundy.
I used to be a UFC world champion.
Yeah, sure you did, mate.
Mate, I'm telling you. I went to go for a champ against Islam Makhachev. Yeah, much bigger than me, division above, Dagestani wrestler. Everyone thought I was mad. They thought, you got no chance, mate. And, mate, you should have seen. It was one of the best fights you will ever see.
They beat
you. Nah, mate, it's not the point, mate. I got robbed, but it's not the point.
See that BMF fight the other night?
Mate, yeah, BMF. Bless Holloway, mate. Pointing at the ground, let's go, last 10 seconds, knock him out, mate. I beat that bloke three times.
Well, you fellas don't believe me, do you? Here, I'll show you, I got proof. My phone's dead. Anyway, I got a rematch to worry about. I'm gonna go do some training.
Daniel, I can't tell you how well that was done. All from fifth grade on, so all through junior high, all high school, and to put myself through college, I worked for a plumbing company, but it was on job sites. That's a real guy. The guy that shows up and he's running his mouth. I mean, I would always hear from this. I worked with a specific guy out here in Oregon, and he would tell me about being a plumber in California, and I don't want to how fast he could work and how much he'd get done. And I always think, when are you going to put some pipe in on this job? Like, that's a real person. And then over time, I became that person a little bit. I started working half days because I had to go to practice in the afternoon. I'm sure they annoyed, and I was never really embarrassed for myself until I saw Volk do it and go, oh, my God, I was that guy.
Jill, I did it at my uncle's bricklaying site. I did bricklaying, and they would talk about the days they were so good at basketball and baseball. And I'm like, well, where's the video or show me something? Here's the thing, though. That makes me feel like, what if those guys were telling the truth? Because Volk is telling the truth right there. I love that. Give Alexander Volkanovski some chances to do some acting because the guy is phenomenal. I love his personality. I love everything about Volk. And Volk was telling the truth. We all love Max Holloway right now, and he's hot as Max Holloway is white hot. But Alexander Volkanovski beat him three times and increasingly worse every time they went in the octagon. That's how impressive that man is. Awesome, Chael. I have no idea what we're supposed to do now, Chael.
Well, let's talk a little about Olympic wrestling. If you don't know what to do, let's talk about the trials because I'm all wrapped up in this. And Daniel, every 4 years, and you've been part of this when I was a fan and followed your career, there's a changing of the guard. Every 4 years we see it. There's always a surprise. Somebody comes out of nowhere. I think the somebody that came out of nowhere is actually Trumbull, who Snyder had in the finals. And I realize Trumbull did not make the team, but the mere fact that he won the challenge tournament, this is a non-All-American. He came through a challenge tournament, technical falling, Colin Moore, an NCAA champion, coming out on top. When you got Carroll in the bracket, you got Jaden Cox in the bracket, and this is the guy that wins the challenge tournament. Not for nothing, Daniel. I think we got a great team. I think we can contest the Russians. I think that losing David Taylor hurt a lot of people, but I think adding Aaron Brooks is going to end up being a wash by the time we get to that stand in Paris.
You know what I love? I love the changing of the guard, but it's also very sad. I made an Instagram post yesterday about those guys that are now, I'm not saying they're retiring. The only one that retired was Jaden Cox, but Jordan Burroughs, David Taylor, Thomas Gilman, they're all world champions. We were in the golden age of United States wrestling because every time we sent those guys out there, we knew that they were coming home with championships. You know, you could see in Aaron Brooks last year with David Taylor that he was getting really close. You didn't know that it would take 1 year for him to surpass the guy that is the Olympic champ and the reigning and defending world champion. You know, but David Taylor didn't score a takedown against Aaron Brooks. To me, that is the most surprising stat that I've seen all weekend. I thought that we did a good job, but I also think that we as a country, and especially as a country that's trying to build the sport shell, those are some things that we could do better. Because right now, you have these guys weighing in that have earned the right to sit out waiting for these guys to go through that challenge tournament. Here's the problem with that, Chill, and you might disagree with me here. I don't know. There are some names in wrestling that people recognize. I believe that the moment you try to draw that fan in, Chael, you put somebody that they know. Because while I love Greco-Roman wrestling and I love women's wrestling, I love most people recognize the Jordan Burroughs and the David Taylor because every year, Chael, when the world championships come, there's a post from you or me. Or all these MMA guys will post about these world champions. The moment that TV screen pops on, Chael, you should see one of those guys. But now you go up to the trials and you never see him. You got to stay 2 days to get to David Taylor because he's sitting out the whole time. I think everybody should be in that tournament. And I think on mat one, the first name you see on that screen should be Jordan Burroughs. It should be a world champion to lock people in and keep them the whole weekend, not tell them you've got to watch 2 days of wrestling to get an opportunity to see the names that you're familiar with. So I think we could do better. And also the way that the tournament was ran a little bit, Chael, it made me annoyed because guys were cutting weight after midnight and girls and having to wrestle the next morning against a fresh opponent. So we could do better as a country in terms of that. But in all overall, the wrestling, phenomenal.
I agree with you on the logistics of the tournament. I didn't think that was right. I mean, I'm in Oregon, so I'm 3 hours behind, but I'm wrapping up at 7:30, which means somebody's on the mat at 10:30 in the evening when the weigh-ins are at 7 o'clock the next day and they still got 5 or 6 kilograms to get off, you know, 10 to 12 pounds. I didn't like that. Now, Daniel, there's an unforeseen problem. This has not happened yet, but it's coming. And when you take the number one guy, you take the medalist, and you let him sit out till the finals, the top three finishers make what we call the United States national team. With money in this sport, yep. It's a little different even than when you left, partner. With money in this sport, the way those contracts work is you largely need to just be on the national team before that gets washed out. With club sponsorships, you largely just need to be on the national team before that's gone. With RTCs, you largely need to be on the national team. I can keep going and I can even explain to you our governing body of USA Wrestling. Eventually, you're going to have a guy who medals and was planning to retire. And he says, you know what? Instead of retiring, I'm just going to keep this for a year, show up in the finals. In a worst case, I'm number two. I keep it for one more year. And I know that that hasn't happened yet, but we've seen things very close even back in my day. I entered a world tournament after watching Dan Henderson fight in Pride, who had left the sport. He's my number one training partner. He left the sport a year before. He shows up to the trials and he gets on the scales. I said, Dan, what are you doing here? He said, well, if I make the finals, I get to keep my family's health insurance. And I only share this with you because it's a big mistake. You're taking our top guy and you're saying he doesn't have to do anything as a way of preserving the team. I get the concept, but the 2 out of 3 is what's supposed to correct that. In case a guy gets caught or a guy gets pinned, the 2 out of 3 is what's supposed to solve that problem, and it's enough for me. Hold the tournament, hold it even, and move on to the next one.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great, though, man. We get ready for Paris, and I'm excited. For the record, Chael, I had an opportunity to call the Olympic trials. I would have loved to do it. But after the way they treated me at NCAA tournament this year, my feelings were hurt. I was mad. I didn't do it. Now, they're going to start to treat me with some respect. They put some respect on the boy DC's name. I know I'm sensitive, Sally, but that is my right, and I reserve the right to keep my sensitive behavior. Hey, guys, I'm just joking. But listen to me. Ask Chael and I anything. Get in those comments. We will add that question to the show on Thursday. You guys know that Chael and I will answer anything you ask us. We're open. We'll be honest. Or at least we'll be as honest as we can be to the question that you guys will ask. But I got to tell you something, Chael. We were doing one of those Reddit things, and no bad questions getting through, because do you remember that lady that was in the room with us? Like, those questions don't skirt past. You got to get through some standards and practices to get that question to us. So I think we're relatively safe. I feel better now about posing this than I did even before we did that Reddit, Chael.
I agree with you. And by the way, that was fun having Ryan Clark. If I could just recap, that was really fun having Ryan Clark. He left before I barely got to say goodbye. When I was the new guy on campus going out to Bristol at ESPN, he was always the guy that was there for me. Always, you know, somebody to have lunch with, somebody to say hello to. What a great guy. And it was really fun having him. So goodbye, Ryan. If you're still listening, this is my proper goodbye since I didn't get to say it when you were on. Thanks, DC.
It was awesome for RC to jump on the show and spend some time with Chael and I. Hey, guys. Get Chael and I every Monday and Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. ESPN2 at midnight Eastern now. ESPN Plus everywhere else. And find us on YouTube, because we love seeing you guys down on YouTube. For Ryan Clark, thanks, Ryan Clark, for joining us today. We appreciate his time. For Chael Sonnen, I'm Daniel Cormier. Get those questions in the comments. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.